I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late.
Scholars often divide children's literature into two periods, before and after Alice in Wonderland. So immense was the influence of the dreamscapes invented by a mathematics professor named Charles Ludwig Dodson, better known as Lewis Carroll. ISU's Susina says the book and its equally famous sequel, Through the Looking Glass, proved once and for all children's literature didn't always need to teach a moral. It was enough just to entertain.
It has been said by Morton Cohn, who has written the standard biography of Lewis Carroll, that the Alice books are the most cited books in Western literature after the Bible and Shakespeare. Before Alice in Wonderland, books tended to be teachy and preachy, and one of the things Carroll really emphasized that books for children could just be entertaining. It's this imaginative world, or another way to look at it is a child trying to make sense of an adult world that sometimes seems a little mad.
Some of the characters and their lines are so memorable. Do you have favorites?
There are so many wonderful quotes. One of my favorites comes on the opening page where Alice is kind of bored looking at the book her older sister is looking at, and she basically says, "What is the use of a book without pictures and conversation?" And that's exactly what the two Alice books are.
Now, he illustrated these books himself.
First, he told an oral story to Alice Lytle and her sisters on a boating trip on July 4th, 1862.
Alice Lytle was an actual little girl.
There's a real Alice, and this is one of the wonderful examples of a children's book that was inspired and written for a particular child. And Alice liked the story so much, because she was the heroine, she asked Lewis Carroll to write it down, and he did. It took him a while, and the next year, 1863, as an early Christmas gift, there was a book called Alice's Adventures Underground that Carroll wrote and illustrated. They encouraged him to publish it, but they said his artwork wasn't good enough, and so he hired John Tenniel as the publisher. Then we have Wonderland come out. It becomes one of the most popular children's books, highly successful, and very quickly after that, he starts thinking about a sequel, and he's one of the first people to come up with a sequel. In fact, during his entire lifetime, he developed what I call the Alice brand, and there's a reason for that, because he was a lecturer at Oxford, not making a lot of money, and at the death of his father, he was responsible for the welfare of his family, which included six unmarried sisters and two other brothers.
How would you say The Looking Glass is different from Alice in Wonderland?
That's a really good question, because we have Alice, the protagonist, that links the two books together, but they're very different books. They were published 7 years apart. Both of them are quests. The first book is a summer book, and it's really optimistic. The second book takes place in the winter. It's cold, darker, far more frightening. The first book is simple, where the major games are card games and croquet. The second book, Through the Looking Glass, Alice falls asleep and goes to a mirror image world through a mirror, but the key metaphor is chess, which is much more complicated, and Alice grows up going from pawn to queen.
There's been some suggestion about the relationship between Lewis Carroll and the little girl, Alice Lydell. What have you found?
One of the interesting things about Carroll was he was a fastidious record keeper. He kept a diary for most of his life. His diary ran 13 volumes. 9 of them survive. But what really concerns people or fascinates people are a couple of pages were cut out. It turns out that his niece, after his death, cut out some passages she was troubled with. And they were about the relationship of Carroll and the Lytle family, and there was a break-off of about 6 months. Obviously, Carroll and Alice Lydell were very close. She was his ideal child friend, a muse. But by the time that the first book, Wonderland, came out in 1865, they weren't terribly close. Some people have speculated that Carroll might have talked to the parents and said, "We seem to like each other," and maybe proposed a long-term relationship. The age difference between them was about 20 years, But in the 19th century, that was not atypical. In fact, the Lytles themselves, there was a 20-year age difference in their marriage. So that might have been it, or Alice might have playfully said, when I grow up, I'm going to marry Lewis Carroll, and that probably shocked the Lytle family because Mrs. Lytle was very ambitious for her daughters. And in fact, Alice ended up marrying a very wealthy man named Reginald Hargreaves in 1880. Carroll was invited to the wedding and did not attend.
How did Lewis Carroll become involved with this family, the Lydell family?
Well, Carroll became a lecturer at Christ Church, Oxford. In order to be a professor, you had to be single and studying for the ministry. The exception to the rule is the dean. Dean Lytle came with his family, and they lived at Christ Church. Carroll grew up in a very large family of 11 children. He was drawn to children. And when the Lytles moved in, he was also developing his interest in photography. And so he first took photographs of the eldest son, Harry, and eventually all of the Lydell children. And in fact, Alice is probably the most photogenic of the Lytle children.
Who was Lewis Carroll? What kind of a person, character was he?
Lewis Carroll is a complicated character, very religious, very, very smart. He is a polymath.
Polymath meaning?
Polymath having abilities in multiple areas. In fact, his interest was Euclidean geometry and published a number of books. He was one of the great amateur photographers of the 19th century. And so he had interest and skills all over. He was fascinated by the theater. He was a man about town. He was both shy and public.
There have been so many movie versions of Alice in Wonderland. Talk a little bit about your favorites and which ones are good and which ones are bad.
There probably are 20 film versions of Alice in Wonderland. Most of the films combine both stories. Probably the one that viewers are most familiar with is Walt Disney's animated version that came out in 1951. It's got some problems. What Disney tried to do was Americanize Alice, and so the clever wordplay becomes more slapstick. But it has a lot of good songs, and there's some really nice comic routines in it. I like that one a lot.
What about Tim Burton's version, which many people may remember?
I have some problems with it. It takes characters from the Wonderland books. Alice is an adult. She's no longer a 7-year-old girl. She's turning down a wedding invitation. And the good part about Tim Burton's film, Alice becomes a strong, almost warrior princess. But in doing so, the film becomes very much a violent film where the minor character from Looking Glass, Jabberwocky, becomes a major battle sequence. And so it's a much more violent film.
Many people remember the Jefferson Airplane song about the white rabbit. Doesn't that show how deeply into the consciousness and the culture the story of Alice is?
One of the things my students come to my classes knowing about Lewis Carroll is that he took drugs. It turns out they're incorrect. Though in popular culture, thanks to the caterpillar smoking a hookah on a mushroom, which is in the first book, Wonderland, there are all sorts of drug associations. And that's what the song White Rabbit does. The song ends, remember what the Dormouse said, feed your head. Actually, in the book, it says, if you can't be civil, finish the story yourself. And I think that's what's happened with many of these adaptations where the creators have been inspired by the Alice books and decided to create different stories based on the characters or the plot.
So no evidence that Lewis Carroll took hallucinogenic drugs.
No.
And the words of the song aren't even in the books.
No.
You have found an interesting correlation between Lewis Carroll and Abraham Lincoln, of all people.
Yes, this is, to me, fascinating. Alice in Wonderland was first told orally on July 4th, 1862. Carroll illustrated it on his own, but was told his artwork was not proficient. And so, as the contact person to meet John Tenniel, who illustrated the two Alice books, he talked to a playwright he knew by the name of Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor, among other things, wrote Our American Cousin. Our American Cousin is the play that the Lincolns went to when he was shot. It turns out John Tenniel was the major cartoonist for Punch magazine, a family-oriented humor magazine. And there are a number of cartoons that feature Abraham Lincoln drawn by Tenniel. And in fact, some of the images that Tenniel, as a professional artist, used, he recycled in Wonderland. If you go down to the Lincoln Museum in Springfield, there is one area where it shows all these sort of anti-Lincoln cartoons. A number of them are by John Tenniel, the person who illustrated the Alice books.
Jan Susina teaches in the English department at Illinois State University, specializing in children's and Victorian literature. Thank you so much, Professor Susina.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Judy Valente.